Thank you for joining us today for our graduation rate announcement and academic success rate announcement. I'd like to introduce our speakers today and then turn the call over to them. First, we have Mark Emmert, who is president of the NCAA. Next will be Walter Harrison. He is president of the University of Hartford, chair of the Division I Committee on Academic Performance. And then Drew Bogner. He is president of Molloy College and chair of the Division II President's Council. I'd like to turn first to Dr. Emmert for his opening comments.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you all for joining us. As you just heard, we have with us leaders of both Division I and Division II, and we have some very, very good news to share with all of you about the academic success of our student-athletes. As you may have seen in our press release, we have, for the very first time, had a graduation success rate that reaches 82%. That's 3 percentage points higher than last year. And for those of you that have been following graduation rates and deal with these issues, you know that a 3% move in any one year, especially with such a large number of student-athletes as we have, is an incredible move, and we're very, very pleased and proud of that. We're seeing very real movement upward in every category that we track for graduation. It's not in just limited bands, but it seems to be very broad-based. And it is, in fact, something that 82% level was aspirational, as something that we had hoped for a number of years ago. And as recently as 3 years ago, we were talking about whether or not we were going to make it in the time frame that we wanted, and we're delighted that we're here right now. Obviously, this type of progress doesn't happen overnight. This has been a long time in coming. It's a result of the good hard work of the Committee on Academic Performance and the Division I Board of Directors, and I'm very congratulatory to them for their work and their commitment and staying the course to get us to this particular moment. We will be sharing with you a number of highlights. Again, you have this information in the press release, but I think most importantly is this is the first time that the 4-year as well as the 6-year graduation rate has hit 80%. That one-time goal is now a reality for all of us. And if you compare that to our student-athletes as recently as those who started in 1995, the GSR has now risen 8 percentage points in 10 years. We've seen men's basketball this year jump 2 points to 68%, the highest ever in men's basketball, and we're delighted with that. We saw men's football in FBS remain at a steady 69%, but please bear in mind that last year we were delighted that it jumped three percentage points. So we now are holding that higher level at 69, while FCS football has moved way up to 72%. We saw a very dramatic improvement also in baseball that jumped up 7% this year in the GSR, and in a number of other sports we've seen similar increases. The GSR data also shows a tremendous improvement among our minority student athletes. Since we began tracking the GSR, the rate of African American FBS football players has moved up 8 points to 61%. And in the past 10 years, the rate of African-American men's basketball players has climbed 15 percentage points, which is extraordinary. The overall GSR for African-American student-athletes is now up 12 points in 10 years, and the GSR for African-American male student-athletes has risen 11 points in 10 years. So for both men and women of color, the results are very, very heartening. As many of you on this call know, there are two ways of calculating graduation rates. We rely on our graduation success rate, which provides for an allowance to deal with transfers, students moving from one school to the other. The federal graduation rate does not count transfers, so as soon as someone leaves one school and goes to another, it doesn't matter how academically successful they are, they're counted as a failure. But we do want to report federal graduation rates, even though it's a different number than we use and one that we think is much less accurate. We're still pleased that the federal graduation rate has reached a new high of 65%. This is 2 points higher than the federal graduation rate for the student body overall. So we again have student athletes performing at a higher rate than the general student body across all of our institutions in Division I. The federal rate for African-American student-athletes, for male student-athletes, has hit 50% for the first time as well. That's fully 12 points higher than their student body counterparts. So African-American student-athletes are not only performing much better than they have in the past, they're exceeding their non-athlete counterparts very, very nicely. The bottom line on the federal rate is that since 1984, the rate of graduation for student athletes has risen 13 percentage points. Again, a very extraordinary improvement. We still, of course, have our challenges in football and men's basketball in particular. We have the lowest GSRs in those categories. While they have moved up, they're still below 70% in each category, so we want to work hard on that. We've got work to do in a number of sports and in a number of particular institutions that we want to see improvement in. So we're continuing to work with the Council on Academic Performance and the Committee on Academic Performance and the rest of the Division I board. And we're going to see a number of further steps in that regard in the coming days. But I would like to introduce to you right now Walt Harrison, who chairs that committee and has been one of the most important leaders in the academic reforms in the NCAA for a decade now, the president of the University of Hartford, Walt Harrison. Walt?
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for your kind comments and for your leadership. It means an enormous amount to our student-athletes. I want to congratulate our student-athletes for their very hard work and significant progress in the classroom, the laboratories, and other learning venues. These results are real evidence of the important work we've been about now for the past decade. Every year, commencement is one of my favorite days because I get to watch young people receive their degrees and go off heads held high, looking toward a successful future, and today feels like that to me. I think about these results, and I don't see percentage points as much as I do real students, young men and young women who are going off to lead successful lives with better chances than they would have had before we began this hard work of working to improve their academic success. So for me, today is a bit like commencement. I really do see a brighter future for all of these young people. I'm also really gratified and want to thank all the members of the committee who over the years have worked hard. We spend a lot of days every year, probably 15 days a year, working on all of this, and with the help of a very talented NCAA staff, we've made real changes that have produced these results. In 2003, we changed the initial eligibility standards to more appropriately weigh high school grades and core academic classes and standardized test scores. And as a result, high school students are better prepared to succeed in college, especially African-American student-athletes, more of whom are going to college and more of whom are graduating. We also passed progress toward degree standards that were an improvement over what we had had before, and those are having a real effect. I predict, in fact, that we'll see even greater improvement as the years in the years upcoming, because we'll see more and more students who will be affected by these standards. In 2004, we had a new cohort that was subject not only to initial eligibility and progress toward degree, but also the academic progress rate. And as Mark mentioned, we'll be suggesting tomorrow to the board and tomorrow on Thursday ways to improve that even further, but we've made significant progress already. And personally, I'm extremely gratified by the success in baseball. And I want to thank especially the baseball coaches who grabbed onto the idea that their sport was not succeeding and worked with those of us on the committee and other leaders in higher education to produce baseball-specific rules that have made an incredible difference in the life of baseball athletes. This year, the GSR for baseball increased almost 8 points in a single year to 77%. I am absolutely certain this is a direct result of the reforms we made a few years ago. And I'm incredibly proud of the baseball community. I think you're going to see some improvement in football as well. The football adopted some sports-specific changes last year, such as the 9-hour eligibility rule. And I think that we'll see that helping to improve their GSR and APR scores in the years to come. But as I said, our work is far from done. We have two sports, as Mark pointed out, that are still considerably trail our other sports. That would be men's basketball and football. And we need to improve those sports and a few other sports so that everybody's graduating at a success rate of greater than 80%. And the proposals that we'll be making to the board of directors tomorrow and Thursday, we hope will help us get there. So like commencement, I see future commencements to come that'll be even better than the one we're watching now, but I'm very, very proud of what we've done. And I'm happy to turn the microphone, the telephone, over to Drew. Drew.
Thank you, Walt. Consistent with Division One, Division Two is committed to the academic success of our student athletes, and we continue to see positive results. This is the sixth year for Division Two academic success rate, and the data demonstrate that student athletes continue to graduate at a high rate. Division II's academic success data is similar to Division I's graduation success rate, as it takes transfer students into account and removes students who left the institution in good academic standing. However, given the partial scholarship financial aid model of Division II, the ASR goes one step further and includes student athletes not receiving athletic scholarships. Because of this, ASR captures about two-thirds more student-athletes than the federal rate, largely due to the more than 36,000 non-scholarship student-athletes that are included in the NCAA calculation. The national four-year ASR average increased 1 percentage point to 72% overall, while the entering class of 2004 remained steady at 73%. Division II female student athletes for the entering class of 2004 had an 85% ASR, an increase of 1 point over 2003, while the ASR for male student athletes was at 66%, remained the same from last year's results. As is the case for Division I, when you look at the federal graduation rate and ASR data for Division II, it clearly dispels the myth that student athletes do not perform well academically. In fact, Division II student athletes perform far better than the student body, even when considering the less inclusive federal rate. The federal rate for the 2004 entering class of student athletes dropped 1 point to 55%, while the general student body increased 46%. But there still is a difference of 6 points. The Division II philosophy promotes a balanced experience for our student athletes. And we are pleased to see that the data for this year shows continued success. Thank you.
We'll turn now to our question and answer period today, and I'll ask the operator to explain the process for reporters to indicate how to ask a question today.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone indicating you've been placed in queue and may remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have questions, please press star, then one. Our first question comes from the line of Michael DeCourcy, Supporting News. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Mark, yesterday you had talked about the possibility of implementing an immediate 900 floor for the APR for anyone that wants to appear in postseason competition sponsored by the NCAA. I think particularly the NCAA men's basketball tournament is obviously what got everybody's attention. Two things related to that. One is, given this good news, why would the impetus be there to do that immediately? And secondly, if you did do that, would it not be somewhat unfair, kind of like changing the rules of the game in the middle of the game?
Yeah, there was a miscommunication in all of that, and the story went out that I had suggested that there would be an immediate imposition of a 930 or a 900 score for participation in postseason play, and that's never been under consideration. It has been under consideration and discussion for the following year, this next year. And on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, Walt Harrison's committee will bring forward a proposal that will bring into effect that movement toward a 930 APR score as a qualification for participation in all postseason play. That qualification will be phased in over a multi-year period. Their proposal has yet to be finalized, but they'll be bringing it to the board tomorrow. I'm sure, and Walt can speak to this as well, I'm sure it will address some of the concerns that the second half of your question pose. And let me ask Walt if he wants to comment on that as well.
Well, I do want to allow the board to have the first hearing of this proposal, so I prefer not to go into great detail, but I, as Mark said, I want to just clarify two things. What we're proposing, at least, would not go in effect immediately. It would go in effect for the following year, for exactly the reason you mentioned. We are trying to change behavior, and therefore we have to give people a chance to adjust. And secondly, as Mark suggested, we're proposing that we phase this in over a period of 4 years. So we'll have a full discussion with the board tomorrow. There are a lot of other details. In fact, I think we're rethinking this concept in a very interesting way. If the board agrees and if they accept our proposal, then we'll have a lot to talk about at a similar press conference on Thursday afternoon.
I think the one piece, though, that needs to be very clear is that the Division I board has already approved a 930 APR score as a minimum qualification for participation in postseason play in all sports that we run championships in, and the board will also be voting on, and I'm going to be supporting a proposal to apply that same standard to all bowl games as well. So the question is simply a matter of what the phase-in process looks like and how that occurs in the next couple, 3 years, not whether or not this is going to occur.
Yeah, and can I just add one thing, Mark? It's quite clear that this phase-in will take shape immediately, so it's not... We're going to be increasing the threshold. This isn't 3 or 4 years till this takes effect, but it's going to get phased in so that there'll be time for people to adjust.
Mark, can I follow up then and ask, again, sort of falling off that, given the success that you have achieved here, what's the remaining impetus to make the APR even, more difficult to meet? If you guys have gotten all the way up above 82% now.
Yeah, well, we've gotten above 82% across averages across all institutions. What we want to make sure is that our student athletes at all of our institutions and all of our sports in Division I are students first and foremost. And that while the vast majority of our universities are performing at the levels we expect right now, some aren't. And we want to make sure that those schools have all the motivation in the world to provide their student athletes with every reason to be successful, and that the culture of intercollegiate athletics is one of just that. It's about student athletes in a collegiate setting, and the APR requirement for participation in postseason play is a wonderful motivator.
We'll go to our next question.
Our next question comes from the line of Ali Grastring from Inside Higher Education. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thanks. I was just wondering about the proposal to raise the eligibility GPA from 2.0 to 2.3. Have you guys been able to break down the data in a way that shows that that would result in higher graduation rates?
Well, again, I'll ask, this is Mark Emmerdale, I'll ask Walt Harrison to speak to that. We also have in the room two of our researchers who are masters of data as well. This is a, you're asking a very important question, and it's one that's been analyzed very, very thoroughly, and the committee has been having incredibly productive conversations about what the impact of each of these changes is likely to be. So let me give you President Harrison.
Yeah, for a couple of years now, the academics cabinet, which is a separate group from ours, has been carefully studying initial eligibility requirements and made a series of recommendations to our committee, which essentially we are endorsing. We made a few tweaks to their proposal, but very grateful for them for doing the hard work. There isn't, Todd and Tom could snow you with data on this, but our sense here without, again, I want to give the board a chance to listen to this proposal. They may have a different idea, and I want to give them the opportunity to comment on it, but the general sense, Allie, is that we're going to try to allow the students who we believe to be most at risk to have a chance to have essentially an academic red shirt year for a year that will help them prepare academically for the rigors of participating in intercollegiate athletics. So like a red shirt year that you're familiar with, they could practice with the team and receive a scholarship, but they could not play, and they would have to meet certain standards in order to play in their next year. So we think that, again, I'll try to hold on to the specifics because the board may. One of my favorite novels is a novel called Bang the Drum Slowly by Mark Harris, and there's a line, "We changed my mind." So it's possible the board may come up with a different set of specifics, but I think we have a specific recommendation that they will at least that's what we're trying to do.
We'll go to our next question.
Our next question comes from the line of Liz Clark, The Washington Post. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. This is for President Emmert. It's yet another clarification and a question, if that's okay. I'm one of those who thought I heard you say yesterday that you were going to recommend this immediate institution of the 900 threshold. So I just want to be sure I get it right going forward. There is absolutely no scenario in which a 900 threshold will take effect for the 2012 NCAA tournament. You said that quite clearly. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
What you just said is correct.
Okay. And so again, what is the open question is the actual phasing in of that. But it is clear there will be at least two phases, a 900 level and then a move to a 930 level.
Correct.
Okay, but it's unclear. Okay. So then the question I have regarding today's information is, and forgive me for not knowing this, is there any NCAA penalty that relates to poor performance on graduation rates over time for a sustained period of time, or is the APR data the thing that would trigger a penalty, any sort of penalty in terms of scholarships or access to the postseason?
Yes, good question. So the selection of the 930 APR as a threshold is not random or just because it's bigger than the 900. It's because the 930 APR correlates to a 50% GSR graduation success rate. So the answer to your question, the direct answer is that the penalty thresholds are the penalty and the qualifications for postseason play are tied to the APR, not to the GSR. But okay. those two measures are inextricably linked together, so that one leads to the other.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
We'll take our next question.
Okay, as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Okay, we have a question from the line of Lee Shear from the Athens Banner. Go ahead, please.
President Emmerich, will you talk a little bit more about the correlation between the APR and the GSR? And have you done those statistical studies to show that this it really is measuring what you want it to, which is ultimately graduation rates or success rates?
Yes, Lee, boy, have I got the guys for you. So I have the two world's experts on exactly that topic sitting here, and I'll ask one of them to respond to your question.
Lee, this is Tom Paskus from the research staff. Very quickly, we have done the validation studies, and we do find that APR is a statistically significant leading predictor of GSRs, and we can talk more offline about the details of that, but under Walt's and CAP's guidance, we've done a lot of work behind the scenes on that.
Why use the APR instead of the success rate then?
Yeah, it's because of the more contemporaneous nature of an APR. You get an opportunity on an annual basis to see how a team or an institution's doing. The GSR obviously is it takes longer time to see what's going on, and by the time you could impose any sanctions, for example, the institution has moved way past that point. So the APR gives us a running box score on how an institution's doing.
Thanks.
For those on the call, Tom's last name is spelled P-A-S-K-U-S. He is the NCAA's principal research scientist.
Or we just call him the god of statistics.
Next question.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star, then one.
It's a minor call.
If there are no further questions, I want to thank everyone for joining us today for this call to announce our graduation rates. A reminder that they can be found on the NCAA website at ncaa.org, and a replay of this press conference can be found there as well. Thank you.
Thank you.